I always like it when things work.
It's rare, but...
you know, it happens. It happens sometimes.
Once in a blue moon, there are things that Ram likes.
Yeah.
And even rarer than that, there are things that I like.
Yeah. Like
peace and quiet and...
peace in our time, Skaz. Peace in our time. Good evening, my name is Suffolk Ram.
Skaz, yes.
Welcome to episode 193 of the Ramnes podcast.
Are you sure it's 193?
He asks me every single time, and every single time you make me doubt myself.
Did I mislabel the last episode, or did I do it right?
No, you did it right.
You sure?
Did it right. Yeah.
Because the reason I ask is because I'm doubting myself.
No, you did. You labelled it 192. That is correct.
Fantastic. I would say I checked. That means I have to lean over and touch the machine. And seeing as you've said that everything's working so far, I'm leaving it.
Yeah, that's the best way. Don't touch anything. Just let the magic happen.
And then when you want things to stop, go over there and then it'll explode. But it would have done what you wanted it to do, which is stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know.
Yeah. That's right. The magic pixies are doing their hard work to they're taking the photos, they're running their little wires, and they're taking them to Restream, and Restream are copying them and sending all on its way. The Magic Pixies are working overtime at the moment. Let's not disturb them.
The Magic Pixies are working overtime, keeping the magic smoke on the inside.
Yep, it is. There's a children's film to be made out of this.
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, the Magic Pixies and the magic smoke.
Magic smoke's great. I mean, once it comes out, it's really hard to get it back in. I've not managed it yet, but...
There's a very set few places in the world that do magic smoke insertion procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly located in China, as you can imagine, where they inject the magic smoke into all your electronics. And it's how they make it, no one quite knows. It's rumored to discover the 1920s, the process behind it, but it's been heavily patented. It's like the secret Coke recipe.
Oh, there you go. You mean the one that keeps changing?
The one keeps changing, but the magic smoke has never changed because nothing else works. That's one they need. If you change the recipe, even by a few milligrams of one of the chemicals, which we don't know what they are, it doesn't work anymore. So they have to keep it consistent. It's very hard. There's 10 people in the whole world who know how to make magic smoke.
And that is exactly why everything now says made in China.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, they've got the
where
market.
Else do you get magic smoke?
Exactly. It's where it is. And, you know, the artisans who craft it and inject it into the electronics, it's painstaking work. That's why electronics cost so much. You know, paying the children 1 pence an hour, these people are millions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why electronics cost so much, because it's such a fine procedure. Too little, too much, doesn't work.
There you go. That's why you see so much B-stock.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what happened is a couple of years ago, a lot of people make the magic smoke called COVID, which is what caused the chip shortage.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that was the reason behind it. They were all ill, so they couldn't mix it properly and do all what needed to be done.
Eight of the 10 artisans got COVID.
Yeah. Fortunately, they all did survive, we think. So they say. So hopefully, you know, things will start to catch back up. But
the myths and legends of the electronics industry as told by Rand Nerds.
Yes. I mean, myths. This is totally true.
Well, we can't, because this is like Insider Secrets.
Oh, yes. We've made it all up.
That's it.
Seriously,
I need my magic smoke. You got to make sure that fucking they don't go, going to have to make him use that retro technology some more.
How hard do you think it'd be, Skaz, to try and... Because, let's face it, they managed to convince nutjobs to inject themselves with livestock wormer. How hard would it be to convince people that magic smoke... And, of course, it is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But convince the bigger world would be that magic smoke's a real thing and then create the conspiracy theory.
In fairness, these days, I think that'd be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Do you know every time some of your electronics goes and pops... And then you see that wisp come out of the top of it. Yeah. Magic smoke, mate.
Yep, that is what it is. If you're quick enough and you can sort of like wave it back in, it will work again.
If you could catch it in a bottle and then send it back to China, they might be able to fix it for you. That's what RMA process is, right, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's the main process. And if you catch enough magic smoke and you put it in a lamp, you can rub the lamp and the magic smoke comes out and grants you free electronic-based wishes.
That'd be fantastic. Can I have my Steam Deck now? Still hasn't come yet, god damn it. Or you could get some really dodgy lung condition because magic smoke is not pleasant to inhale.
Oh, no, you mustn't inhale the magic smoke because you're not electronic.
It's true. Sometimes you have to check.
And say, look this way, right? You're not a fish, therefore you mustn't breathe water.
No, I like that logic. That is fair.
Yeah.
So how is it we detect... that's how we detect, like, cyborgs and robots and stuff, right?
Magic smoke.
How do we detect the lizard people?
Oh, well, that's a hard one, you see.
What is it that we do for lizards?
So what you do is you set up like a big sort of patio area, you set up some sun lamps, and the people who go out there and immediately start sunning themselves in the patio area are the lizard people.
Aha. Now
it. Yeah, that is the way. In case anyone hasn't noticed, we've not got much to talk about this evening. I've had some minor car issues, which I've been dealing with all week.
Minor car issues?
Yeah, I wrecked my car off. But other than that, it's fine. I've got a hard car.
The car's fine, it's gone.
The car has gone to the great scrapyard in the sky. Well, not yet, but it's going that way.
Why are you not planning on buying a new car anyway?
Oh, that's great fun. Yeah, I've bought a new car.
But that wasn't due to come until... Oh, no, because you said it was going to be June, wasn't it?
June, beginning July. And I've got the cursy car until they settle the figure, which is going to probably be the next sort of 10 days.
Which means
I've got about 3 weeks when I have no car, but I need to get a car because I need to get round. Three things. One, I need to go to the farm. And two, I need to drive to Sabres at Stansted. So I have to have home.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I reckon, you know what this is? This is everything going against Rand Nerd's 24 hours.
Ooh.
Because Zaber's lift to the airport has hurt herself. Your car's just been written off.
Yeah. You think it's Illuminati?
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking this is a plot to keep the Danish man out of the country.
So what you're saying is when I drove to that car park, that post was fine, but someone underneath with a magnet shifted it to the side by 3 inches.
Yeah.
You didn't
see it because you were so busy paying attention to actually getting into the car park. A bunch of geezers ran out of the fucking and just went and just shunted the side of your car.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that was. But yeah, in the shock, you looked away and then they moved it back.
Yeah.
It's just probably a crack team of like pit mechanics, but you know, the reverse. And they just ran out. Fuck your
what
car.
What actually happened was, as I drove to the car park, I did feel a sting on my neck. I got knocked out and I was just unconscious for 2 hours while they quickly sort of put the damage in and sort of did it all around.
That would be mate. I can actually imagine that happening around here. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the Flying Dutchman in the car park?
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I've got enough money to buy a banger, so well, we won't be going in style to Stansted, if it that way, or be whatever.
Are we going
to
get
whatever
there?
I can That's buy for £600 or so.
Let's see.
We looked up, I can get myself like an old Fiesta.
Oh, mate, my mum's got an old Fiesta and the engine's knackered.
This one for £600, this will probably be knackered as well.
I'm saying, can we get there? 600 quid, I'm starting to sound a bit tight, maybe. Might as well just like turn up on... Can we get a train to Stansted?
It only needs to make a few hundred miles. That's all it needs to do. It needs to make like less
only
than a thousand miles. Less than 1,000 miles does this car need to survive with me.
Less than the length of the country. The distance it's going to have to not have to worry about is getting bigger and bigger. Less than full circumnavigation of the globe. It's like, Ram, stop trying to pick up this little car. It's not going to make it.
It will make it. I think I can.
It's just got to outdo Dave.
Yes.
Who's still probably standing there.
Still, yes.
In the train yard.
Ah, trains.
Say train. Is there a train to the airport?
Must be.
There is one. No, there is a shuttle to London, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do we really want to get on a train to London, though?
I don't go. Well, depends. But you're not staying there very long, are you?
No, but that's not the point.
Are you worried that at the day you arrive in London, not zombie you starts happening?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, every time I go to London, that's what I assume is happening anyway. Any major city, I'm like, look at these fucking zombies.
Ooh.
Goddamn hipsters with their Macs and their fucking posh coffees and...
Yep. Hipsters. I've not bought the Mac yet.
Jeez, yet.
I've resisted temptation of buying the Mac so far.
Good.
So,
well, at least they got rid of the butterfly keyboard, so, you know, I think.
Well, there you go. Can't be bad.
I think.
Well, I don't know. It's a computer, it works.
You hope it works, especially for that money.
Well, yeah. But yeah, and it'll have some intrinsic faults that I have to excuse.
Of course.
Yes. Yes, my screen does explode after a couple of hours of use, but this, you know, it's not really that big a deal in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, because when it works, it looks beautiful, right?
Yeah. When it works, it looks fantastic. Those 2 hours before it exploded, it was fantastic.
There you go. Top notch. Well worth the money.
Yeah, exactly. I have got this Apple subscription again, whose screen sent to me every day. You know?
Actually, question. You're an Apple user, iPhone user.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I recently re-became kind of an Apple user again.
Yes.
What the fuck is up with the iPhone's need to cache everything just randomly?
Well, you never know when you might need it again.
Yeah, but it doesn't give me any access to it.
No, they don't trust you with it.
Well, clearly, because it says that my phone, I've only got the 128 gig model or whatever. And it's saying there's over 60 odd gigs worth of system files, but this isn't iOS files. This is just, yeah. And I was like, what is this? Oh, yeah, don't worry. It's just, you know, caches and other data that the system needs. We'll work through it, though, to figure out what stuff you do and don't need. I said, but the fucking file size is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm doing nothing with the phone. It's like, can you stop, please? Because it's getting to the point where I can't use the phone.
That is odd. I'm just going to look at my usage.
It's under Settings, General, and then it should have an option called iPhone Storage.
Yeah, I'm now in it now. It's now checking the status. It's now doing its nice. So I've got the 256 gigabyte version, of which I have used 133 gigs. Bear in mind, though, I'm the sort of person who very rarely deletes stuff on the phone, so it's been transferred from phone to phone to phone. So a lot of the stuff is, a lot of it is, right, let's have a look. So, where's my iOS storage? System files. Well, my biggest hog on my phone is podcasts, of which I've got 47 gigabytes of.
Jesus Christ. You got every podcast since the beginning of time?
Yeah, all our shit, mainly.
Oh, mate, no. Get rid of that. Crap.
So, iOS 5... Sorry, 5. 15.
5?
iOS 15...
Fucking hell, mate!
...is using 2 gigs of my phone.
Do you have the option for...
I'm now looking.
Does it say how much your system caches are?
I'm now looking for that.
So on mine, I've got 115.2 of 128 gigs used, right? And then it says apps is a small chunk, iOS is a small chunk, media, very small chunk, right? And then there's a couple of other colours here that don't actually, they're not listed for whatever reason. And then I go all the
system
way down.
System data.
Go on.
Okay, so the app, so the actual operating system is using 14 gigs.
Yep.
System data is using 5.
5?
Yeah.
Right. 79.33 gigabytes
fucking
system data.
Hell.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've got no idea what the fuck it is. And you know the way you clear it? Either let the system do it or wipe your phone.
But, I can't imagine you've got many apps on there, so...
No, I don't. So I occasionally fire up Filmic Pro, right? And I'll fire up Filmic Pro, I'll record a piece, like just a couple of seconds or a minute or two, right? And then I will click to share it to iCloud, the iCloud drive, and then delete it from the phone, right? So unless it's caching all of those things that I've ever sent to iCloud Drive, because they're not in iCloud Drive on the phone, nor are they in iCloud Drive anymore, unless it's for some reason caching things I've deleted, I don't know what the fuck it's doing.
Have you Googled?
The only thing you can do is either let the system decide when it's fucking done... Right, or wipe the phone.
How weird.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That is excessive.
To the point that's like, well, I don't actually really want to use the phone anymore, because if I do, I'm just going to have like a 128 gig phone where 100 gigs of it is going to be system caches that it won't let me clear by myself. There's no menu to actually clear those caches. You can see how much space they're taking up. You just can't clear them.
Have you tried like backing up and doing like a factory?
No, because I won't do it, because the idea that I'm going to have to do it every couple of months, because it's only taken a couple of months to fill up that system thing, it annoys me. Because it hasn't actually told... It's done the iOS thing where it doesn't actually tell you what it's doing, because it assumes you're too stupid to understand. But because it hasn't told me anything, it doesn't really give me any option to fix it. So I'm like, well, fuck you then. Yeah, I could wipe the phone. But if it's going to do this every couple of months that I...
Well, I don't... Well, it shouldn't do, simply because I feel I've in my life, in all the years I've owned, not counting when you've transferred data from one to another and set it all up, I've systematically stored my phone over the years. I've had them twice on like two different phones. So hopefully it's a simple bug and just doing it once will fix it.
I don't know, because it seems quite widespread on the Goog. I've got a feeling that it's literally because I record a bit of video, right, and then upload it, and I think it's just caching the files that it, as it's uploading them, like to hold it into the background and then upload it, because like Apple applications upload in the background, none of the other applications do, so I'm just thinking it's caching it, uploading it, but then not clearing the cache. So whatever. It's fucking stupid. Fucking iOS not giving you any goddamn control.
Well, no, because you can't trust your own user.
It just seems stupid to me that the only real way to, sarcastic air quotes, fix it is to wipe the phone.
Well, that's Apple. I'm not going to defend it. They do that.
No, that's it. It's just stupid. Yeah. It's really stupid. If all they have to do is put in an option saying, clear caches. If you clear caches, performance may be affected until we rebuild.
Yeah.
That's all it has to do. But no.
I did try and do some video editing this week, I was trying to convert all the MKV files that people had sent over into MP3s, and it kept failing. And went into the OBS logs and it said lack of system storage. I thought, okay. And I'd filled up like all 4 terabytes of one of my hard drives. I thought,
oh, mate.
Right, yeah. So I dug into it and I eventually found in one of the hard drives, Adobe Premiere's media cache folder had 890 gigabytes in it.
Jesus. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you're meant to go into your cache and that every so often. So, yeah, I emptied, deleted that. And also, I had space.
All of a sudden, he had... I hate auto-caching systems. Anything that is automatically managed by a system is just... No.
Yeah.
No.
It's all right. No. AI will save us.
Yeah. Just take the devices away from us. Just take the devices away from us. Just let us dawdle around in you know, dopey ignorance and be done with it. Don't tell us how much storage we've got. Don't tell us how many files are in cache. Just leave it. How much gigs of storage is it being wasted in system caches? ? Can't tell you. Sorry. It's on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. Cool! Well,
the thing is, guys, you say that now, but if you've had a phone and it refused to tell you how much space it was using for system cache, you'd be fuming.
Oh, yeah, I would. But then by the same token, if it didn't tell me that I'd run out of space, I probably wouldn't be all that bothered either. Yeah. Especially after I'd just deleted, 30 gigs worth of stuff. So I've deleted it. Now can I have my space back, please? Yeah. But,
I'm terrible for downloading stuff. And, I mean, Audible's a good example. I've got huge amount of space in the amount of Audible. And then the audiobooks that... I'm sure at some point I'll listen to it again, but I'm not going to listen to it probably for years. So, But you've got them. But I've got them on the phone still. I could delete these, but, you know, they're nice. If I want to just randomly just play and they're there, you know, the old chance. That most places you've got a 4G connection, the unlimited data, you can't download them. It's like,
But it's there now. I can just press the button.
I can listen to it immediately.
See?
Yeah. See?
Streaming is not the future when you're a digital hoarder.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the general difference between ours and the future generations, that everything will be streamed and you won't have much of the way of local storage, whereas where the store one's like, no, internet can go down. We remember bad days of internet. We remember those days. We have everything local.
I remember dial-up.
Yeah. We have everything. I remember the day installing games off like 6 CDs.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
An entire box of floppy disks that take up half a room.
Yeah. Oh, on floppy disks, you knew one of them would be corrupted.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Always the way.
Yeah.
It worked fine last time you tried to play yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not today.
Not today. Not today.
Or you get 2/3 of the way through the game, then it asks you to change the disc, and then it turns out you get to the disc that doesn't work, but it was a disc that you'd used earlier. Love it. Anyway, so, you haven't played anything, Ram, right?
No, I've had a nightmare of a week.
All right, well, that's fair, because I've had a pretty shit week too, but we're not going to pad for everything, because I said the other week how I'd had a fair bit of fun after finally getting a couple of my mates into PC gaming. So we finally all managed to get onto one platform rather than going, well, I'm going to play this game with this mate on this platform. I'll play this game with this mate on another platform. And then if we all want to play multiplayer, be damned, because they're not cross-play. Right, we all...
Listen, it's what you don't know is Skaz, what he does is when he wants to play multiplayer with two mates at the same time, he has a controller in each hand on each...
You say that. I have played Destiny on two different platforms and gone, right, finished one dungeon, fired up another console, pulled up, because this is back before Destiny had cross save. So I would have two characters on the go, and then I would do a run on one system, turn that off, and then leg it over to another system to go with another raid guild to do it on another platform.
I think you just play them simultaneously, just a control in each hand.
Mate, if I was that skilled, then I'd be earning the big bucks. But
I didn't say you played very well in each simultaneously. I said you played them simultaneously.
Well, it's neat that you say that, because that brings me on to the bit that I'm gonna talk about. But in 2 weeks of getting everyone together to play games, we found that tempers can wear thin when you get all those different people together.
Mm.
And so I decided that instead of letting people come onto my battlefield and potentially ruin it for me, I will meet them on theirs, right? So you know how people tend to whine, or they overvalue their contribution to the group, even though they've done absolutely dick fuck all. They haven't actually done anything to warrant the attitude. Kind of thing, like they just assume that turning up gives them the right to bash other people's gameplay or what it is they're doing, right? I figured, right, okay, so I am going to jump into all these other games that I normally wouldn't play on platforms that I normally wouldn't play, just to prove a point, because I'm a cocky douchebag like that. And so I thought, right, we've got to... I don't use Epic Store. So I installed Epic Store. I don't like Activision Blizzard, but fuck me, man, I installed Battle.net. So, if you ever fancy playing that Call of Duty, was it Warzone you put on the Rad Nerds Game Night list?
I think so, yes.
I can do that now, because I decided, fuck it, no one else sticks to the guns, so why should I? Let's install all these different launches, which, by the way, most of them outside of Steam are fucking terrible. But... There was this groove going around that just some people were naturally good. And I have this groove of hard work beats talent every day of the week. You know, a lot of the times you pick up a game and you might be okay at it. Right? Like you might be somewhat reasonable. You look like you know what you're doing. But as far as deeper mechanics go, you're a fucking scrub. Like, you're, you know, big fish, small pond kind of thing. Like, oh, yeah, mate, I'm well good. I'm, like, the best in my town. That means absolutely nothing. Or I'm best on this side of the Bascule Bridge. Means absolutely nothing. Because once you start getting into the bigger leagues, you get fucking put in your place like a scrublet. Trying to tell folks that, like, for example, we were playing Monster Hunter. So the only reason that we're even somewhat proficient at this game is because we've been playing the series since it was out on PlayStation 2. So we don't expect folks who are new to the series to be anywhere near as good as us, because we've learned patterns and stuff over the last couple decades. It's practice. And, you know, pattern recognition, memorizing the way that things move and work, and map knowledge and all that kind of thing. And I kept on hearing in this new mega group, right? Oh, I can't do that. It's way too complicated. I'll never be able to do that. I can't do that. Oh, my God. I'm just, you know. So have you tried? Well, I tried a couple of times, but fucking, I just can't do it. It's like, but you need to practice. Yeah, but, you know, I tried it a couple of times and I can't do it, so I'll never be able to do it. So, I pulled down all these different launches, and I pulled down a bunch of games that I knew I was going to be absolutely fucking terrible at. Okay? Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, and note that I'm not a huge Counter-Strike player. I've played a bit of 1.6, I played a bit of Source, but I've not played a huge amount. Valorant.
I even played online once.
Oh, did you? Well, yeah. Me and you played a little bit, didn't we?
Sort of.
Well, so this is part of my thing, because a lot of people are like, well, you can play Quake, and you're a pretty... So people tend to look at some of the stuff I do in shooters, and they're like, oh, you're actually pretty good. It's like, yeah, I'm all right at arena shooters. You know, I'm all right at, like, Halo and stuff like that. But when you get to slower-paced shooters, where you can tap someone in, like, I don't know, two or three hits, I'm fucking done. You know, I'm used to, like, high mobility, big damage, map knowledge. You know, it's not that I'm actually good at these games, it's that I have map knowledge. And I imagine that people who have had years and years and years of learning the maps in Counter-Strike would just, you know, they'd do me in a heartbeat. And surprise, they do. They completely fucking curb stomp me in a heartbeat. I have no idea what I'm doing. I downloaded Valorant, which is Riot Games' version, kind of Counter-Strike. It's kind of a Counter-Strike-y, Overwatch-y kind of thing, where as a hero-based shooter, where characters have special abilities, yeah. But you have the same kind of penalties as Counter-Strike, where if you get shot a couple of times, you're done. I ended up in the bottom of the scoreboard on a couple of those, in the old team matches. Bottom of my team. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing, no idea about character utility. None of it. No map knowledge. I've got nothing. Dota. So Dota 2, Defense of the Ancients 2. MOBA by Valve.
You can't call it that. It's just Dota 2.
Oh, yeah, because Defense of the Ancients is the WoW
mod.
No, not WoW mod. The Warcraft 3 mod.
Yeah.
It was originally. Yeah. Defense of the Ancients was a mod for Warcraft 3.
So
they've literally said you're only allowed to call it Dota 2.
Yeah, because it's a grey area, because they basically remade the entire game.
But didn't they have one of the guys that worked on the mod working on
this? Yes, Ice Frog, I think is his name. Well, not his real name, obviously.
Sure, yeah, but, okay. Yeah.
But I think it's
Ice Frog.
Yeah, I think Ice Frog is his handle. But obviously, it was made as a completely standalone game. So they just called it... I think originally it might have been initially announced as Defense of the Ancients 2, but then very quickly just got called Dota 2. It's only known as Dota. It's only referred to as Dota.
Sure.
Just for legal purposes.
Sure. So I've not played a huge amount of Dota, or even Defense of the Ancients. Okay, I've played a bit of Warcraft 3. I've played a few RTS games over the years. So like... Red Alert, Warcraft, Starcraft, that kind of thing, but not really my groove. Dota isn't an RTS, it's a MOBA, I'm shit at it. I'm fucking terrible at Dota. Why? Because fucking I have no, like, map knowledge, no idea. I have no idea about my role on the board. I have no idea what my character skills are or what they're good for. I have no idea about the upgrade trees to make my character stronger or what I have to do that. I know nothing about maps or utility. I need practice. Then We also went for League of Legends, which is basically Riot Games' version of Dota. In my opinion,
you've
of the
just
two.
Just caused an internet war there, Skaz.
Yeah. But they can't deny it. It's the same game. It's based off of...
They're going to be coming at you with the pitchforks. It's totally different.
No. No, it isn't. It's a totally MOBA different. Based on... Both of them are based... No, okay, so here's the trick. Whoa, both of totally them are different. Based... They're based on Defense of the Ancients, the Warcraft 3 mod. I will say, of the two, I much prefer League. There are differences. There's quite a few differences. But I prefer the way that League has been streamlined versus all of the extra mechanics that are in Dota. So in League, you can teleport back to your base and go to the item shop and get buffs and things for your character. In Dota, you can also summon a courier, like a little flying pet thing.
Yeah.
And that and then that gives you a whole different set of controls. Because the pet courier thing can be killed on the battlefield. So it'll leave the base to come to you, but if someone gets to it, it's fucking dead. I don't like that mechanic at all. It annoys me, and I find the movement to be a bit too twitchy for my taste. Not a huge amount different there than League, but it does my night. And plus, if I had to be honest, I kind of prefer the Rune Terror League of Legends characters to the Dota ones. But maybe that's just me. But I'm playing both. And then for game number 5, I decided I would go in for a team-based shooter, another one, a hero shooter, Overwatch. So we went for one from Blizzard. Mainly because on the Overwatch side, it's one of the ones that my mate plays who, he's adamant that you don't learn things over time in games, you're just naturally good at them, you know, practice isn't going to help any. And so I don't like the game, to be honest with you, or I didn't like the game, to be honest. But I thought, you know what, if I can go in there and be an absolute scrublet and learn the mechanics, learn the maps, learn the character matchups, then my point has been proven that if I can then become somewhat proficient in the game, fantastic. And if I can drag a few people along in the process, then, you know, cool.
It's going to shock people, but when they analyze the human genome, there won't be a gene that says good at Overwatch.
Hmm. Believe it or not, you're not born with ability.
Humans didn't evolve to play computer games. I know, it's shocking.
It's weird, isn't it? No,
we evolved to shout at the monkey in the tree next door.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that's why places like Reddit and Twitter exist.
Exactly. So, you know, I agree with you totally, Skaz. What most people put down to skill is simply in-depth familiarity and muscle memory.
Yeah. Practice.
And the good players are just putting a huge amount of practice. There is obviously variations in that, and I do think a lot of people have a skill ceiling where people get to a certain stage and they won't get better. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the champion and so forth. But most people get to a very competent level just by playing a game an awful lot.
Yep.
So I'm totally with you on that one.
It's map knowledge, setup knowledge, you know, character knowledge, weapon knowledge, all you know, that kind of stuff.
Just simple things like knowing how reactive your mouse is. You know, just knowing how roughly accurate weapon is, knowing how fast, if it's a hit scan weapon, if there's bullet drop, where to aim in advance, knowing how other players tend to behave.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, a lot of what I would say the Quake and UT stuff was basically knowing where another player is going to be because most weapons move fucking slow.
Well, and the characters move so fast. So you had to predict where they were going to be.
You're basically trigonometry. You're good at trigonometry.
But it's been interesting because I also wanted to kind of. I wouldn't say I've had like a natural gift in games, but like, you know, when you watch a film and then you watch another film, you know, you see the familiar tropes coming up and you start to predict things, you start to predict patterns. And that's what I said to people. It's like the reason that people think I've actually got any skill in any of these games is because I've played games of a similar style for years and some of those skills have transferred over. You know, if you've played Tekken has barely changed its mechanics in 7 games. It's added a few in. But for the most part, any moves that you've learned from old Tekken will transfer into the new Tekken. It's not quite like Street Fighter where they change up the mechanics every version of the game. So, you know, there's not a huge amount of transfer. So I purposely picked out games where people couldn't go, oh, yeah, but you're really good at this kind of game. I just picked out shit that I knew I was terrible at just to prove a point. Here's where I've started. I'm really crap. Look, I'm at the bottom of the scoreboard. I'm not getting angry about it. I'm practicing. I'm admitting that I don't have any map knowledge or skills in this particular area. Like I said, Valorant. I played Valorant. I have been absolutely fucking destroyed in Valorant. Yesterday, I think I got killed in every match other than two, and I only managed to get two kills.
Yeah.
And that was in my first round. I had no idea about the maps, no idea about the weapons. I didn't know anything about character skills or setups or anything. Which then, this brought me into another kind of line of thinking about professional gaming, in that most professional gamers' careers end somewhere around 25 to 30. Around 30, they start to say, oh, you're a bit too old. You know, you're too old. Yep. Your reactions are starting to drop. Yeah. But I was like, how much of this is... Because your reactions aren't going to completely drop clean through the floor, are they? They are going to degrade over time, but not to the point where, like, I don't know, at one point you're able to school a bunch of noobs and then all of a sudden you can barely hold a mouse.
No, I think
you know, you see it and you have to count to 1,000 before you can shoot.
Yeah, it's like sort of at the very top tier, your reactions will drop over time to the point where the people coming up and coming who vote at the top tier will overshadow you. But you put you into one tier down, you'll still dominate everybody.
For sure.
That's what I saw, yeah.
But then I wondered, I was like, well, realistically, is it all... Because you can't put it all down to reaction time. Because as you said yourself, well, practice plays a big factor into that. Mm. Map experience, setup knowledge, like knowing where players are going to go, predicting where they're going to move. As an older player, chances are you're going to have a lot more knowledge of setups. Mm. Right? So surely that would counter any degradation in reaction time. To a point,
of course. I think when it comes to playing games and knowledge, it's not a perfectly linear angle up. It's like it starts off fairly level, then it's suddenly you start to get a bit of knowledge, and then also you gain knowledge very quickly, rapidly. But then as time it sort of tees off, and you get sort of to a peak where the knowledge eases off.
Mm-hmm.
So to a point, there will come to a point where this is going to help because people can't see this because it's an audio, but if there was to be a lovely graph on the screen, most pro players at the top of that curve, which levels are leveling off.
It's an S curve.
Yeah. There's a little bit of knowledge to be had, but you've all sort of got to that stage. But like I say, you go down one tier, you're still, actually, you're actually looking down a tier, but your knowledge is still going to put you way above the vast majority of people.
For sure, but that was kind of my point. Realistically, that because you've got all that extra experience, because you're, even though your reactions have dulled a bit, they haven't fallen through the floor. But like, you know what sound effects are made when a character is, say, moving to your left. You know if they're to your left. Like, let's say for example, you know, you're playing Dust 2, and you're like, oh yeah, well, you know, I know roughly where if he's coming from the left and I'm stood here, I know roughly what he could be planning on doing because there's only a set number of scenarios. Or it's a bit different for shooters, but like in MOBAs, I couldn't imagine reaction times playing a huge part in that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I know that people are going to jump up and down and say, oh yeah, but if your APM ain't very great, ain't very good or whatever, you're going to be really shitty. Or same with like StarCraft and that, but StarCraft's a different kind of game entirely.
Yeah.
Whereas in shooters, sorry, I'm just going to lost my train of thought. But like in a MOBA, it is going to be a lot more map knowledge, setup knowledge, that kind of stuff. In a shooter, I would expect to have there'd be a little bit more of a push towards reactions and as well as setup. And then fighting games. Well, I mean, in a fighting game, if it's not so much, oh well, yeah, I can react to that move. I can predict it because I know how these, if you know matchup knowledge, you know how a character moves, you know how they combo into other moves.
Yeah. Is it so about like, timing as well, though? There's a lot of fighting games around timings.
Yes. But then once you've got those timings down, you've pretty much got it solid. Like unless you end up developing like an RSI or whatever, where all of a sudden you can't do certain motions. I wouldn't imagine it to be a huge problem because if you know, for example, that so okay, me and my son we play Tekken, and my eldest son he loves to open up with Heihachi's 10-string combo. Right, but if I know he's going to do Heihachi's 10-string combo, or like let's say there's a 1 in 5, and I know that what kind of buttons he has to press for the wind up for that move, or what kind of moves he can follow up from, like what kind of moves can he do that then follow into the 10-string combo? I'm like, oh, he's doing this move into this move. Ah, the 10-string must be coming next. It's not so much that I'm reacting to it; I'm predicting it. I'm reading him. I know enough about the game for it to not matter that my reaction times may have dulled a bit. Whereas the younger players might go, oh, fuck, here it comes, bam, and they hit the button and they're on the button. You know, for me, because I have dulled a bit, it's more of a setup and matchup knowledge that allows me to stay competitive.
Yeah.
I was just curious what you thought about that subject. Do you honestly think there's a hard ceiling for... Like, do you think that age is that big of a factor? Like, do you think that there's no chance in hell that we could learn? Not, we wouldn't become pro, obviously, but do you think there's ever a chance that we couldn't play a competitive shooter?
So, I say it depends what level. If we're talking pro level, I think then stuff like your age and reactions do become a factor because everybody is going, most people on pro level are going to have a hell of a lot of experience. You know, they're going to have the map knowledge, they're going to have a lot of. You're not getting many, there aren't very often where a pro player has been playing the game for 3 hours and now a pro player. No, they've got hundreds. And if we disregard the pro players, it's like saying comparing your local five-a-side team to Premier League stuff. Let's disregard the pro players out there at all. Let's just look at the average. I believe that most people, and they're always really sort of like, you know, and your overall ability is a pie chart of lots of factors playing in together. But if we're talking like sort of like what's all the mid tier, I think most people, if you put enough time in something, you'll get reasonably good into the mid tier, or even sort of the high. You know, it's not sort of mid. Yeah, not the same pro level. Let's say we've got scrub level, mid tier, and pro level. That's how I'm separating this out. And obviously, mid is a big range. I think even if you're into your 40s, 50s, 60s, or however old you are, with enough practice and time and dedication, you will get good at that level. Where it comes competitive is everybody else is in that same boat as you. When you're comparing to other people doing the same things, then it's all the nuances. But I think you're right. I think a lot of factors. I mean, you're saying about sort of shooters and stuff. Well, if you've got someone who's got really good reactions, but you're up against someone who knows the map like the back of their hand, they'll probably run rings once. They'll know, oh, players often do this. Players often do that. Then new players often go this way. So they can get the drop on you and so forth. It's almost guerrilla tactics. So that's what it is. I think we need to disregard the pro level stuff because that is just on a separate level.
Oh, yeah, altogether. But that's fringe stuff, isn't
it? That is a small percentage of the whole community.
You know, you've got to imagine if there's any, you know, if a team is, what, 5 players? And there's like 10 players, like 10 teams per country. And then think about how many people are playing that game.
Yeah. Yep. And how many people are good enough to even get into the tryouts for this. You're looking cream of the cream. So they are going to run rings around anybody, pretty much. Yep. That's the similar tier to them. That's the same as any sport, whatever it is. So, yeah, I think most people can get to a fairly high level in non-pro level. Amateur, there you go. Amateur people think it's a bad thing. It's not. It means you're not getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
So in amateur league, whatever it is, you can get then. I mean, let's take something like Dota. If you pick a character and focus on a character and perfect that character and learn how they play inside and out, you'll probably be better than someone who jumps around between characters, and also you'll then get a job at other people, and you'll learn how other tactics work. Mm-hmm. So there are ways and means around it. So that's why I say I pretty much agree with what you're saying. I think, obviously, there is a certain degree of you have to have some degree. I think there is some degree of natural skill that's playing to that pie, but not to the bigger part some people think. Because there's lots of skills in life. I mean, I'm shit at I can't draw or paint to save my life. I've tried, I've never got any better at it. I've just accepted that's not my forte. My sister's got all the artistic things and she's good at that. But vice versa, she can't get her head round anything to do with, you know, logic and basically anything programmery, she can't get her head round.
Sure.
Can't. Different skills, because they basically come to different mindsets, you know, an analytical mindset rather than a creative mindset. So I do think there is a certain degree of where your natural skills lie in that pie chart, but I don't think it's a... the person who said that, was it Overwatch, you said that basically it's all based on natural skill, nothing to do with knowledge. Absolute, I think it's absolute bullshit.
Well, they're saying it about pretty much every game.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Like, if, let's say, for example, they go for a combo in a fighting game and they drop it after five attempts. So, like, well, I can't do it. Well, so, but there's a lot more. It's taken a lot of these, like, these pros make it look easy, but they've spent hundreds, thousands of hours.
That just sounds to me as an excuse. I'm not bad. I just ain't got the natural skill for it.
Sure.
I would. Isn't there a Sun Tzu quote somewhere about, but you should be. Was it so? It's better. Also, Jackie Chan. There's a quote saying, like, I fear the person who has practiced one move 1,000 times than the person who knows 1,000 moves. I've completely butchered that quote. I will try and find it in the show notes.
I get the groove. I get the groove that you're on about. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd rather perfect one.
Yeah.
Than dilute your skill set with a bunch of stuff that you're probably fucking terrible at.
Get very focus on one thing and get very good at that, rather than trying to be a master at everything.
Sure.
Because even if you look at these like pro teams and stuff, where you look at when they're playing like casual, you tend to find that certain players are better at certain play styles.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like you'll have your hard snipers, your riflers.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, look at your Rose. You probably find that certain people tend to always gravitate towards being the tank or the support or the DPS. These people tend to gravitate towards these skills. That's what they're most comfortable doing. And also, that's what their transferable skill is. If you're a good tank in one game, you're probably going to be a good tank in another game.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably exceptions to the rule. But so I think there is in there someone. So, you know, the hard part is when you place, I think, and there is some degree of instant gratification in this world these days where we're used to sort of getting satisfied immediately with something. So if you play something a few times and you just get blown away every single time, it is very hard to just keep going.
Sure.
And perhaps when we grow up, when there were less easy access to games, because you had to go physically buy a game and you install it and you had to save them and so forth, whereas now you can buy 10,000 games for 99 pence on Steam and you can have access to this. Or if you're not good, so you can instantly switch to something else. Whereas by the day, you might sort of spend money on Quake and you're just going to play Quake or UT or Halo.
You had to make do with the games you had in your shoebox.
Exactly. And you would get good at them because it's all you really had to play.
Yeah.
So we're good to them in that regard. So, yeah, I'd say 99% I agree with what you're saying. I feel great for certainly what you're saying, actually.
See, I agree that stuff like, you know, I do agree that reactions are going to play a part. But, like, as you say, it's a pie chart. And kind of depending on your play style is going to and the genre, obviously, is going to dictate how important that is.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you do have map knowledge and the other person doesn't have map knowledge, even if they do have, you know, quick flick reaction times, you could probably still steamroll them because you've got a rough idea of what they're going to do and when they're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, their reactions aren't going to save them, but then your map knowledge might not save you in a direct one-on-one.
Yeah.
When they're quicker off the bat, there's always going to be, there are so many variables.
In an open room, you'll have it. But if, like, you see them and you go, right, I'm just going to leg around this corner here, turn here, and there's a little cul-de-sac here, which most people don't know about. Oh, here he comes. What, one around. Oh, I'll shoot him in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, as a just completely made up example.
Yeah. It's just, it's practice, 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 practice. And the, you know, hard work beats talent every single day.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is really because anyone who is talented, often when you find that the talented, they hit that ceiling and they start losing, they crumble.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what to do. They expected it just to carry them to the top. But there's, as you say, there's that kind of that curve, and the amount of knowledge you pick up quickly is, you know, there's quite a chunk of it. And then it's that cream that's right at the top. It's a lot harder to attain.
Yeah.
So your talent might get you to the top of the top of it before you start getting to the cream.
Yeah.
And then when you get hard shut down, you either have to accept that you're not as good as you thought you were and you need more practice, or you stop entirely and move on to something else.
Yeah. Well, let's look at a recent example. Well, this also doesn't, this applies more to me and Zabe recently because you play a lot more than us. Let's look at Demio. Our first game of Demio, obviously you knew Demio quite well. You know Demio, you've played Demio for a lot more hours than me and Zabe had, so you knew it inside out, really, compared to us. We struggled like hell. We were sort of like on the ropes for most of that level. We got to the last stage. We got better as time went on, but we got to the last stage, you know, by the skin of our teeth, really. Mm-hmm. Second one we played, we sort of knew what we were doing. We knew how it worked. We knew the characters better. And for the sake of just an extra couple of hours of this experience, it was still a challenge, but we were able to manage it a lot more efficiently. And we were able to get to that stage, and we lost again. But then the last one we played, which will be uploaded, and spoilers, we won.
We won.
But if you compare how we played in that one to how we played in the first one, we had that little bit of experience, but we had learned some knowledge, and as we had 4 hours, we became a lot more effective.
Yeah.
And so forth. So
match-up knowledge, character knowledge, you know, map knowledge.
Knowing what you can get away with, knowing, like, how big anything's going to explode, knowing how long something will last for, what wears off, knowing what boundary you can push.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know I'm in stealth mode. I can get to there. I will be all right. I can get there with this movement I've got in stealth mode. It'll be a bit hairy on the way back, but I can do it. That sort of stuff.
Knowledge of mechanics. Knowledge of mechanics.
Yes. And I think it's fair to say that natural skill, particularly reaction speeds, are meaningless in Demio.
Sure.
Because there's nothing that involves reaction speed.
You can sit there and make people wait all day if you wanted to.
Exactly. So I don't. Maybe someone who's got more analytical mind can sort of see the mechanics quicker.
Sure.
But I think that's a more as a recent example. Not kind of what you've been doing already, obviously. Just on that, you know, that I think that's a. And actually, look at a lot of our games. Most of them we only play for games night. Some we have on the other side of things. But you compare, like, when we first play it to when we finish off, we've improved dramatically. And we're only playing for a couple of hours every other week.
Oh, yeah,
but
for sure.
Our skill jumps up quite quickly, fairly rapidly. We get quite where we're tackling stuff. And we're not sort of top-tier level by any shot, but just a few hours of work makes us a lot better.
Yeah.
Except for
we learn ways to... Oh, mate, that... But then there's a lot more going on. So we understand the surface mechanics of Hunt Showdown.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more subtlety going on in that game than we even realize.
Hunt Showdown's a great example of knowledge.
Yeah. There's the, you know, map knowledge is incredibly important in that game. Understanding audio cues, incredibly important in that game.
Yeah.
Weapon drop-off is incredibly important in that game because it doesn't matter if you can hit the target if you're outside of the effective range of your weapon, because it might just graze them instead of kill them.
Yeah.
You know, I've just gone and clicked his head. Why isn't he dead? Because you were out of range. It just dropped to the floor before.
Yeah.
Before you actually
hit him in his foot.
Yeah, exactly. You just grazed his heel. You know, so there's so much going on in that game, and I mean, if you look at it, you go, well, I'm going to play it like Quake, but it doesn't play anything like Quake. I might have put in hundreds of hours into Quake, but Hunt plays nothing like Quake.
No,
you know, or if you could have played shit tons of COD, plays nothing like COD.
Yeah,
so
probably a better matchup to Hunt would be something like Armor. The more classic Rainbow Six, not the more modern Rainbow Six.
Well, I'd also even go as far as to compare it to stuff like Counter-Strike. That literally, you get shot a couple of times, you are fucking done.
Yeah.
Before you even get a chance to react. You know, you could, all of a sudden, you could hear a footstep, and the next thing you know, your character's on the floor.
Yeah.
No pickup, no, you know, don't pass go, do not collect 200 quid, you are fucking done, son.
Yeah.
But if you had better map knowledge, you might have known that you should have probably been guarding to your left at this point. Or, you know. By the way, fantastic game. I absolutely love that game.
Oh, Hunt Shadows has got to be one of my favourite games the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I'm fucking terrible at it. Outright terrible at it. It was actually Hunt Showdown that kind of started to show me how rusty and useless my Quake skills were.
Mm.
You know, so it just doesn't translate because of all of the extra mechanics in play. Yeah. Because I don't know the subtleties of those mechanics, I can't coast by on what came before it.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Not wrong. But yeah.
Just trying to basically convince people that, you know, not everyone is naturally talented, and that, you know, if you work hard enough at it, if you want to, you can become decent at it.
Mm.
You know, you might not ever become the best, but at least you'll be able to play and have fun. And if you win, great. And if you lose, you'll hopefully be proficient enough to the point that you know where you fucked up, rather than going, this game's just really cheap and I can't do it. It's like, I probably shouldn't have done that. Or, oh, shit, I dropped that button on that combo in that fighting game. I should have probably done it a fraction of a second sooner or whatever, you know? This is all stuff that you learn. This is all stuff that you practice. It's not something, you don't automatically pick up a fight stick and become, you know, the Evo world champion, you know?
And likewise, you know, just because you have a fancy Hotas joystick doesn't mean going to make you an amazing, what's that combat flight game called? I played it last year. That's a really old game. Some combat flights, I can't remember the name of it. Just because you've got a fancy fighter doesn't mean you're going to be instantly brilliant at it.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact,
I mean, there are still players out there.
I'd argue you'd probably be worse at first because you've got unfamiliar set controls.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. Well, that's another case. So, as an example, Daigo Umehara is a world champion Street Fighter player, but he plays exclusively on fight stick. Well, one day they gave him a control pad. He's never played on a control pad in his fucking life. Mm. Like, not Street Fighter, at least. He had no idea what he was doing. That muscle memory was just so strong because he spent all of his time in the arcades. He just didn't know what to do. And so he got trounced by someone that was realistically, you know, in the optimum kind of setup. He'd have stomped them every day of the week and twice on.
Yeah. It's so true in just day-to-day life. Let's just forget about games for a moment, that just because you're personality and skill, not your nat, your you. More so much they say skills, but you're predisposed to certain avenues that are going to interest you, and you're good at, whether that be mathematics, logic, analytics, craft, and which combination you have, but it's sort of melting pot of combinations you're going to have, and they naturally will go towards certain skills. But you don't instantly, I've got a very analytical mind, which means if I apply myself, I can get good at instantly begin a programmer and just become the best programmer in the world overnight. I can drive a car. I've driven a car. When I first started learning to drive a forklift at work, I didn't instantly become a great forklift driver because I knew to drive a car.
No, for sure.
I took many, and I've probably put in hundreds of hours on the surface.
They seem similar because there are, you know, wheels.
Well, the instructors tell you that people who don't drive generally pick up easier.
Sure, because you've got a preset
notion.
How it should work.
And it doesn't.
Exactly.
Because forklifts are rear-wheel steering. They rear steer.
You have to fight
that
muscle memory. You have to fight those. You have to fight the. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like muscle memory. Fight.
I know what you mean. We're doing well tonight, Skaz, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's because we're so old. It's the slack of sleep. We're too old for talking.
Yeah. Right, but I think muscle memory is probably I think muscle memory is probably the best word to use. And yeah, you have to relearn how this thing works.
Yeah.
The first time I got onto a quad bike, you know, it was a bit like I picked up fairly quickly, but I wasn't great when I first used a quad bike because I had to get my head around how it doesn't react like a car reacts.
Yeah.
And the same is true of any time you get a similar skill but transfer over, you're not going to be good at it. And
there's a degree of molding that you need to do to that old skill to make it fit into the new box.
Yeah.
You know, into the new frame. It might be similar, but it won't necessarily. I mean, like you look at a key. Yeah, oh yeah, this key and this key, but they don't open the same thing.
Yeah.
They both open doors, but you know, there's a bit of change that needs to be done to make it work.
When people say like, oh well, when I say, oh, someone tries for the first time, oh well, they're a natural at that. Well, what they mean, they don't mean that they're instantly brilliant. It means that they've got whatever skills they've got, they already have, predisposing to be good at that thing.
And they're able to pick it up easier.
Yeah.
But they have to be willing to work on the fine details to actually truly become great at it.
A natural, someone doesn't walk onto a sports field or a tennis court, plays around tennis, and someone goes, first time, goes, yeah, you're natural at this, we'll book you for Wimbledon.
We can't all be Kim Jong-il.
No, exactly, we can't. And there's only one Kim Jong-il around. And he has all the skill. So, I mean, no athlete or no, you, if you go to any sports ground or any chess tournament or any other tournament, you say to people, just curiosity, is this your first time? You won't find anybody who says that.
Oh, for sure. They've probably been playing for years and years and years.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of practice there. Hard work and practice. People make it look easy, but that's only because they've put in, you know, hundreds, thousands of hours into doing this kind of thing. I was talking to someone who actually plays like different shooters, like Hunt Showdown, and someone said, oh yeah, I've been playing Hunt Showdown for like 1,000 hours, and they're fucking amazing at it, but the way they play Hunt wouldn't work for us because we don't have that much knowledge of the mechanics. Like, they can run in and clear a room in a heartbeat, but that's because they've got set up map knowledge, deep mechanical knowledge. Fantastic. So another person who'd put in 500 to 1,000 hours into Call of Duty multiplayer. And, I mean, their aim is ungodly. Ungodly. You think, oh, my God, they are a natural talent. And then they go, nah, I just played the game a lot.
Yeah.
To the point that, like, it's the game is almost an extension of myself. I know how my character moves when I do this and this and this with the mouse. I know exactly where I'm going to be when I flick the mouse from this distance to this distance. Minus acceleration.
Yeah. I might say something that's not quite true, but it's roughly true.
Okay.
There's this rule, they say, when it comes to become a master at any skill, you have to put in approximately 10,000 hours to become a master at any skill. It's not totally true. It's just that's a nice round number. In some cases, lower than that. Some cases, it's higher than that. But the general gist is the same. You have to put an awful lot of effort in to get to fantastic master level. 10,000 hours is a lot of time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Of course.
To put something. I totally disagree with your friend. I'm sure you
Yeah, for sure. It infuriates me.
Yeah.
Absolutely infuriates me. It's like, because by that knowledge, let's go into another field, that you could say, well, what about streaming and audio production? Well, that would mean that only people with massive amounts of equipment ever make it to the top. But that's not true.
No.
There are some people out there who literally use a 40 quid headset mic. I keep using him as an example recently. His name's Tyler. Tyler One, or League of Legends Tyler One on Twitch. Right? He literally, from what I understand, pretty much just plays League. And his stream setup is a cheap web camera and a £40 headset. And he'll comfortably pull in thousands of viewers every single stream. Yeah. That's got nothing to do with his equipment. His personality carries him through.
That's what I was going to say.
I've got thousands of pounds worth of equipment that I've used for loads of other jobs. But that doesn't mean that I get thousands of viewers, because I'm an obnoxious twat.
So, I was waiting for you to say, because I've got a shit personality. I was waiting for you to say.
That's it, you know? There's like, you're not going to be able to make it in everything, and it's not always about gear, as you said, with the HOTAS and stuff. Just because you've got the fancy HOTAS doesn't mean that you're going to be fantastic at it. Or, you know, going into instruments. You could be a complete novice, and I could hand you a 30 grand guitar. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to play it. Yeah. But if I hand, you know, let's say the 10,000 hour master, if I hand him a shit 50 quid guitar, even if I set up badly, he'll make something sound decent, or she'll make something sound decent.
They'll copy because they
yeah, because they know how to get the best out of it. They've experienced enough to go, the action's a bit high, so I'll have to play like this, or that's a bit sticky, I'll have to do this or that.
Or they'll have the ear to tune it by ear. And they'll just
be able to compensate.
Yeah.
Or if something goes wrong, they can go, I can do this to mitigate that issue, you know? So, but that's all down to experience and practice. And just too many people want to be handed the W these days.
Yep.
It does my fucking nutting.
We're back into that. Another old phrase, a bad workman always blames their tools.
That's it. I can't stand quitters. I can't stand people who go, I can't do it. It's like, you can't do it now, but if you're willing to put the time in, you know, you're probably good. Yeah. I mean, there might be someone out there who maybe has a better grasp of how this might work. You know, let's say, for example, a musician, they've got a better idea of rhythm, so they might be better at fighting games.
Yes. Yep. No, that's fair.
Whereas, I don't know, where...
It won't mean they'll be instantly fantastic at it. No, they'll still have to learn, but they'll probably pick up quicker than someone else.
Yeah, they've got that extra talent there to go, hang on a minute, this seems to be working on a beat. Well, if this is the beat, then maybe this is where I can time press and the buttons and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That transferred over, or they might have a talent for it from where they learn a different thing. They're still going to have to work on it to get good at it. You know, they're not instantly going to be fantastic, best in the world. There will be a limit that talent gets them. That's only so far it'll carry them. And again, we're not born with these skills. As you say, it's just a mindset that we may already have that means that we can perhaps dissect something a bit quicker or easier than some. Some people don't like maths. Other people pick it up really quickly.
Yeah.
You know? But it still takes a lot of work to get to that kind of, say, I don't know, top 10%.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before you get to Cal Waldman level of maths.
Yeah. But, it really frustrated me over the last couple of weeks. I thought I'd have a lot of fun getting everyone together, only to have this massive clash of personalities to the point that it fucking literally infuriated me. And I was like, am I going to let this ruin my fun, or are we going to have to find something else to do? Like, are we going to have to all jump in and play a game that they like? To kind of like, they've had the most experience in it. Let's jump into their game. See, look, let them feel like they're the best for a while, and then see if we can learn and outpace them or carry them or whatever, just to prove a point. You're not born with these skills. You're not born knowing everything that you're ever going to know.
And I think another as well is how, another skill you have to learn is the ability to, once you've done something and you've failed at it, to stand yourself up, brush yourself down, do it again.
Yeah. If you can't admit to the mistake, if you can't admit to the fault, you'll never move forward.
Yeah. And I must admit, I personally, and it's something that I do have to power through, I'm very good at, if I can't get my head around something after a few hours trying, I will just have to force myself to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will just say, oh, I can't. Part of me wants to go, I just can't do it.
Sure.
I mean,
not to be true, but...
Yeah, I mean, certain things I have just come to accept that I've put lots of effort trying to understand. I've just accepted that I won't get my head on this, but then I looked in actual facts. It'll be something like, to use a game engine, there's these things, and I'll pronounce the name on very wrong here, called Quintinians. And it's a way to it's a better way to describe rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And all modern game engines use it. It's mm-hmm. Basically, whereas most people think rotation is X, Y, Z, Quintinians have this extra one called Q. I think it's Q. Mm-hmm. And it's an extra figure. And I sort of know what it means, but I've never quite got my head around it. And I've read loads, I've watched loads, I've fiddled with it loads. I still cannot quite get my head around it. And it's not, and that isn't through lack of trying. I have tried to get it. I mean, one day it will just suddenly click.
Yeah.
But I accept that is probably, and but then you look at actually, a lot of people struggle with it because it is quite a strange concept. But I'm sure people out there who do it once and instantly know it.
Yeah, because because to them that'll seem kind of obvious. They'll go,
yeah.
So that's that and that. That's that and that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's how this works. It's like, oh, okay, fair enough. But they'll still have to put in some work to actually get it to work.
Yeah.
You know, to actually build something out of that knowledge. They've just had a bit of a short step. So it's like what we were saying earlier. You know, oh, it could take me 500 hours to perfect this thing. But then it could take, I don't know, let's say, for example, something that you're good at. You could have spent 500 hours learning it. It might take me 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
Or it might take me 750. The amount of time you need to practice isn't guaranteed from person to person.
Yeah.
You know, if I say, oh, yeah, this is a guaranteed, you'll be an expert in a week.
Yeah.
Well, you might not be. You might have to do it twice or three times or four times to get it to sink in, to make it comfortable.
And the flips, just take the flip side of my Quintinian example. Last time we were here, I spoke how I started teaching myself, CSS and sort of. The world runs on it, unfortunately. I started to teach myself it. And I've picked up very quickly. Now, I've fiddled with CSS in the past, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. Now, I've learned, I understand it. And going on to the forums of people who do the course as well, and you see them put these questions out there, you look and think, well, the answer's... my brain goes, well, the answer's obvious. So you can see exactly what you've done wrong here. And so the flip side of that, and that I put down to the fact that simply I've got experience in other programming and
for sure.
Knowing how things and how things cascade, and it's all about there's a bit about inheritance, and well, they don't call it that exactly, but things tend to inherit and cascade down, hence cascading style sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, from that other skill knowledge I had, I've put that very quickly.
So when you initially looked at CSS, you were like, oh, fuck, I don't get this. Then you start tweaking with other programming languages. Like, you already knew about a program. You start learning a few other bits. A bit more practice. You go back to CSS. You're like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
What made CSS work for me was I did a course, and the person puts what I'd seen into context. So whereas before, I was the equivalent of me before opening up an engine and pushing and fiddling things and noticing sometimes when I fiddle something wants to happen, like the engine revved or something.
Yeah,
and
for going, sure.
That must be the thing that makes the engine rev. This equivalent of someone saying, well, okay, well, that bit there is the accelerator. That's your fuel pump system here. That's the injectors. That's your turbo. And so I actually explain what these bits do and how they interact. And then my brain just went, nope, I get it now.
And context is king.
Yeah, I didn't require a lot of being shown in depth. So, like, I blitzed through. I got to the sort of questionnaires, which people were like struggling to get, sort of like 60 or 70%. I was just doing 100% boom straight away, no problem at all. I was like, this is easy.
Yeah.
So that's because I had a transferable skill that made it very easy for me.
Yeah.
We'll see how that carries on as I get to sort of like more in-depth stuff. but it's the same with when I started to teach myself last year, 2 years ago, C++.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very daunted by C++ because I'd always been told it was a very hard language to learn. And it has got some weirdness, but I didn't struggle as much as I thought I was going to. Because I'd done language programs before, ones that I derived from it as well, which made a massive help. So it was a transferable skill. But someone going to it fresh, I could see how it could be completely and utterly
alien. Yeah, for sure. But then it's like going, oh yeah, well I'm going to be learning advanced physics without actually learning like my times tables or basic maths.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. You have to have built up a foundation from somewhere before you jump into the more advanced stuff. I wouldn't expect someone to learn C++ as their first language.
No, I wouldn't even consider teaching it. If someone asked me to teach some program, I would not start off C++.
Sure. Oh, of course not, because it's a bit up there, isn't it? It's like saying, so going back to Hunt Showdown, because, you know, we're supposed to be talking about gaming. It would be
I hope you enjoy this gaming podcast.
At least it's not a rant about the education system. But
I'm actually going to put just in it, we are actually a game process, really, in the notes.
Surprise. It's like, okay, so we've all played different shooters. We both have you and I have preferences in different camps as far as shooters are concerned. And then we both jump into Hunt. We both know that realistically, in the simplest way, you boil it down to center, screen, and click.
Yeah.
Okay? We have an idea about the base mechanics of it, but without a little bit of extra context about how the rest of the mechanics tie in, we're lost.
Yeah,
there's just so much going on that we don't understand.
I also think there is a certain fact of when we went to Hunt, and actually when generally whenever I pick up play any new game, but Hunt was one, I think, a good example, because I had heard stuff about it, so forth. I went into Hunt, and I'm going to guess you were the same, but you might not have been. I went into Hunt assuming I was going to be bad at it.
Well, yeah, because you had a bias. You had a pre-made bias.
Yeah.
Same as like a lot of people do. They're like, well, I'll never be that good. It's like, yeah, but you don't know that yet.
But the difference was by assuming that, when I then died, it didn't really bother me. Because I thought I was going to be bad anyway. If I got on that thinking, oh, it's a shooter, I'm going to be fantastic, and then died immediately, that would severely knock...
That would shake your confidence.
Yeah.
Because you'd be the person with the talent who has just been handed the W all the time.
Yeah.
You then get taken out of your comfort zone, get whooped, and now you're like, well, shit, how do I cope? What do I do? Because normally I do this really easily. It's like, yeah, well, not this time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to practice like the rest of the plebs on this one.
Yeah, and that's actually how I approach every sort of when I'm going to learn something new. Go into it assuming you're going to be shit.
Sure.
And if you are shit, it doesn't matter, because that's what you thought you're going to be anyway, and you've met your expectations and you know you're going to get beyond that. Don't go into it assuming you're going to be fantastic at it, because that's when you'll get disappointed and so forth. And that's the attitude I take with every new skill when I'm doing sort of head on. I assume I'm going to do it wrong.
And don't compare yourself to other players or other people.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if you go into guitar instantly assuming you're going to be Hendrix, you're going to be fucking disappointed in a heartbeat.
If you're going to do guitar, record yourself playing the guitar the first time you play guitar, keep practicing a month later, record yourself again and compare yourself to your first time.
Now, it's funny you say that, because that's what I've been doing with these games. On the daily, I'm recording a couple of sessions just to say, well, this is where I started. And if you look, it was so when I started playing League... No, it was only like a week ago, not even a week ago. I had no idea. Like, you could see that I was fumbling around the menus and all that kind of stuff. I had no idea where anything was. I didn't know how anything worked. I didn't know anything about my character. And now you see that I'm fumbling around, not a huge amount less, but a reasonable amount less. You can see that I'm learning the way that the interface works, that I'm learning what I'm supposed to do. There is steady steps of improvement. That's what people should expect. Practice.
Yeah.
even if you're not actually actively paying attention, well, I can't learn these patterns, that's too complicated. You'll learn it eventually just by going over and over and over again. If you can stomach going over and over and over again.
I want to ask you a question. and this is just sort of an observation I've had. The person mm-hmm. who you know who says that it's all based on natural skill, there's no learned knowledge, all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Are they quite a young person?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're our age.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I was going to say, because I think I'm going to be brilliant at this, is a more younger person. I mean, I certainly, when I was younger, I used to think that when I used to pick up a game, when he's gone, I thought I'm going to be absolutely fantastic at this.
Sure.
And I sort of got old and realised that that's not the case.
I understand why you would think that. Mm. But no, I mean, this person doesn't automatically assume they're going to be good, but they're constantly comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah.
And so when they lose, they throw their toys out of the pram.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, at the end of the day, how long have you been playing? Oh, you know, for example, Overwatch, right? They could have put in like 20 hours into Overwatch, and all of a sudden they expect themselves to win every match. That's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen. There are too many variables. You can't win a team game by yourself.
No.
You know, 20 hours doesn't equate to anything in the grand scheme of things. There have been people who have been playing that game since launch day that know the mechanics inside and out. That's just not the way it works. Or, you know, if I don't know, let's say I've been playing StarCraft and all of a sudden I go over to Dota, the skills aren't necessarily transferable. I'm going to have to practice.
No.
Coming in like 10 years after the game has come out and expecting to actually win, fucking never going to happen.
Yeah.
There's just so many mechanics and so many things to pick up.
Yeah.
Being excellent at Mario Kart doth not make you great at Counter-Strike.
No.
You know? So
it might give you advantage in Gran Turismo, especially if you can't Blue Shell.
Yeah, if you can mod the game to include blue shells, nailed it. But it's just been a weird one for me, because as you know, I'm kind of built by negative reinforcement, and it doesn't take a lot for someone to kind of ruin my groove. So if someone starts coming into somewhere where we're supposed to all be having fun and all of a sudden they start bitching it out, I'm like, why are we doing this? You know, or it's like, oh well, you know, I'm never going to be able to do this. You guys are always better than me. It's like, but have you practiced it? No. Well, we have. Yeah, but I'll never be able. No. Have you practiced? No. We have. Think about it. Yeah, but no excuses. Yeah. You know, it's not like this is the first time we've picked up a control pad kind of thing, you know? It's just, for example, my youngest son completely destroys me in TF2. Absolutely destroys me in TF2. I've barely played TF2, and he's put in fucking hundreds of hours into TF2. But I need to practice to be able to get somewhere near to get my skill level up.
Yeah.
I need to know how the characters work. I need to know how the maps work. I need to know how the game modes work. How the weapons act.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just go in and assume that I can just click ahead and win. Playing Doom. Original Doom doesn't mean that I'm going to have skills in the latest Call of Duty game. Very different games mechanically.
Mm.
You know? So, it's just practice, practice, practice. But,
yeah.
The whole reason, again, why I've started to do this, like, I'm going to play these games that I know that I'm bad at, is just to literally prove to these people, like, look, you just need to practice. I might be better than you at insert game here, or even a number of games. But in this case, I'm fucking terrible, and I'm showing that practice is what's making me improve. There's no raw talent here. It's just, you know, it's just learning.
Yeah.
Accepting those failures.
Perhaps you go back to the person and give an example, like, I don't know if he does he drive or not. Does he drive?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Perhaps we'd say, did you become a fantastic, excellent driver in a couple of hours of getting in a car?
Oh, yeah, but you know that most people are arrogant and they say that they're the best drivers on the road.
Yeah, I will say, be honest with yourself, were you a great driver for a couple of hours? And I think most will say no. But you say you're old, or put away, are you a better driver now than you were when you first started learning? Mm. And most will say, well, obviously a lot now. And did you become instantly a better driver after a few hours learning, or has it took you a few years to get that level?
Mm.
Well, there you go. And actually, you could argue that driving is more based on natural skills. There's a lot more physical stuff involved rather than a mouse and a computer screen.
For sure. It's just, as I say, it's just one of those things that kind of irked me a bit that all of a sudden you'll never be good enough at it.
Yeah.
You know, just because you can't do it at this one time. It's like, but for some reason, some skills they seem to be fine with and others they rage out on. It's like, just chill out.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to win every time. You are going to lose. You have to take those failures and roll with it. You learn more from your failures than you do your successes.
Yes. Yep. Definitely.
So, yeah, that's the plan. And hopefully by the end of the month, I'll at least be able to shoot someone or fucking understand what I'm doing in a MOBA.
Yeah.
And then if I bring these people in, I can, because I've recorded some of it just to literally prove. I was like, look, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. But it doesn't mean that I can't learn what to do.
Sorry, chair failure. Anyone watching this just see me disappear out the screen.
So yeah, good times. Good times. Yeah, practice.
That's basically the last, what we've basically come to conclusion, the last hour and 25 minutes is practice.
That's what I've been telling my kids ever since they were born. You ain't going to instantly be good at something, but if you practice, if you want to be good at it or somewhat decent at it, just practice. Eventually things will click, whether you realize you're learning or not. So just through repetition that you develop muscle memory and you start to figure out the patterns. And, you know, do that enough and things just start to fit.
I agree totally.
There you go.
There we go.
So when are we going to get you into Dota? Because you said you were going to watch the International. Or you have watched the International.
I have watched the International a while back. I haven't watched it recently, in the recent years. Perhaps we should put Dota on the list for games night.
Tutorial's interesting. I'm not a huge fan of the tutorial, but they've done a lot of work on that tutorial.
I have been told by people who play Dota and who've played League of Legends that the Dota community is better than the League community.
I'd say they're both toxic as hell.
League's a lot more toxic than Dota. That's what I've been told.
I disagree. Okay. I think they are both equally as bad as each other.
Yeah.
They are really, really bad. However, I would say that the tutorial in Dota is much more fleshed out, kind of. There's a lot more meat to it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, Dota will give you, like, 32 different practice missions that you can do to learn the game mechanics. League of Legends goes, 4. Go for it.
Yeah.
But, again, those are subtleties and things that you'll learn through playing. You know,
I think Dota does free, so perhaps we should put it onto games night list.
I was going to say, does it?
I think it's free for Dota does free.
I think they might actually have a couple of bot modes. I think League of Legends also has a bot mode. I just think it would be interesting for us to see how we feel to a lot of these games. I would also say that now that I've got the Battle.net installer going, if you wanted to play that Call of Duty game, you'd be more than welcome to. Albeit we will probably be fucking murdered in seconds flat.
Oh, there's 3v3 in League, but not in Dota.
All right. I wouldn't recommend doing ranked or anything anyway. I'd just probably tell it, let's just fuck about and do... I mean, I don't actually think you can do ranked until you get to level 30. One thing I will say about Dota and League, just off the top, oh, and even Valorant, that there are certain things you don't actually unlock until you get to a certain level. Like, so you have to get experience by winning matches and stuff or taking part in matches.
Yep.
But then depending on if you've played like XYZ amount of time, the character that you start with may not play the same way once you unlock a bunch of extra stuff. So like there are some characters, like when I was playing League, it's like, oh yeah, you unlock this ability at level 7. I was like, wait, account level 7 or character level 7? Wait, what? So what you're saying is if I play this game a lot, all of a sudden my character will have even more utility that I'll have to relearn.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we recommend that for this character you have this skill. By the way, this skill doesn't unlock until you've had your ass handed to you about 50 times. Oh, okay, fair that. Like, all right, I'll do that then. It's just it's just really weird. It's like I was doing the League tutorial, and the character setup in the first tutorial is different to how it is when you actually launch the game. And I was like, well, hang on a minute, where's that skill gone?
That's a good tutorial, isn't it?
I was like, look, it didn't make it clear that the setup for the character was different. And so, but I can put the character back to that, but that's not how it rolls by default. So I was like, huh, okay. But then the Dota tutorial tends to just shove stuff up your ass, whether you like it to or not. You'll be going through the tutorial and it'll say, yeah, do this, do that, do that. And you're like, what? How does that work? Like, what are you highlighting? What are you talking about? It's like, there's still a lot left for you to figure out, kind of thing. It doesn't just hand you the direct. Like, you don't get a sheet, the schematics for it, and it goes, yeah, just do this. So there's an awful lot to take in. And when you look at, like, pros play, same with fighting games, when you watch these pros play, they make everything seem so simple and so fluid. But you realize there's so many different mechanics being tied together. It's absolutely ridiculous the amount of depth that's actually there. But that's it. That's okay. It. Practice. Keep going. Don't be a bitch.
Don't be a bitch. Podcast title, National First Lizzie, or practice.
But it has been humbling. The fact that I've had to, like, go, oh shit, I am literally at the bottom of my team's board. Like, I'm at the bottom. I'm usually pretty good at this kind of stuff. Yeah. Not today, I ain't. Nope. So why ain't I any good? And then you start going through and fixing the fixing. Anyway. I think that covers the podcast, Ram, unless there's anything more from you.
Nope, that is... Well, as I said, there's no... I've done fuck all. So... Oh, well, I hope you've really enjoyed this gaming podcast and listened to what we've been discussing about games and games we've been playing, that sort of stuff. We hope you enjoyed that. If you have, you might want to consider subscribing to us on, you know, the iTunes and stuff and all Spotify or many other platforms. If you go to our website, anchor.fm/randnerds, you can have a look and see all the places you can listen to us on.
Poor bastards.
We shall be on again on the 18th of June 2022 at 21:30 at GMT plus one. You can join us here on YouTube or on twitch.tv/randnerds. You can also check up our games night, which is going to be on the 7th of June. This is just Tuesday. I mean, it's live. If into the audio recording, you missed it. Sorry. And you can check me out on twitch.tv/thesuffocram.
And twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
And until we see you in the next podcast, thank you for watching, and we'll see you later.
See you guys.
Bye.